Track 2 of What is the Government of God in the Church, number 4. Now let's begin to answer the question. We've already covered that Christ is the head of the church. He has direct authority over all the brethren, and that's where the authority lies with the brethren. Now, since he's chosen men to teach, he has authority over all of those that he calls into the ministry. And it does not elevate them to a separate higher authority over the brethren in a hierarchical sense. So let's look at the overall perspective. Let's come here to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We've covered this before, but now is appropriate time to review it. Ephesians 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 9. Now let's come back to Ephesians 1, then we'll come to Ephesians 4, beg your pardon. Ephesians 1, page 11 to 89. Let's pick it up here in verse 20, talking about the mighty inner working of his power. Ephesians 1 and verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above every principality and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. For he has subordinated all things under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all. So Christ is the undisputed head. He has full authority, all authority in heaven and earth. Now, let's see the authority that he has given to the ministry and for what purpose. And as we will see, it is not for the purpose of power and control, wealth or money, or any of those things, because it is to teach people the way of eternal life. So let's pick it up here in verse 9. Now, he who ascended, what is it but he who also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, Christ being put in the grave and then resurrected? He who descended is the same one who also ascended above all the heavens so that he might fulfill all things. Now here is how it reflects directly to the church, the teachings in the church, the functions of the ministry and so forth. He gave some as apostles. An apostle means one sent bearing the authority of Jesus Christ, to witness of his resurrection. And that's what he told the disciples back there in Luke 24 and also Acts, the first chapter. They are to be witnesses of these things unto the ends of the earth. Now, let's stop here and ask a question. All the original apostles died. What do we have to help witness to the ends of the earth? The Word of God. So their ministry is still going on through those who are doing the teaching today, because we teach from the Word of God and we teach what the apostles have written, correct? Yes. And what God inspired them to write, being the God-breathed Word of God. He gave some as apostles, and that is a function, as we will see later. It is not an office. There are no perpetual offices. Once you have been elevated to an office, you are in that office forever, which happens with a hierarchical church, whether it be the Catholic Church, Protestant Church, or Church of God. If you're a priest and you're elevated to be a bishop, then you're a bishop and you're a bishop the rest of your life. And if you're elevated to be an archbishop, and each time there's an ordination going along the line. And then if you're elevated to be a cardinal, now you're in the super elite, the princes of the Catholic Church, and you help choose the Pope. And he stays in that office until he dies, likewise being a cardinal and so forth. God has, his way has nothing to do with that. What are being described here are functions performed by elders. Because we will see, Peter said, I am also an elder, when he was speaking to the other elders there in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. So he gave some as apostles, some prophets. And prophets means to give inspired preaching. And if you are telling forth the word of God correctly, and the time comes to prophesy, to foretell what is going to happen based upon the word of God, then you are prophesying. And some evangelists, and evangelists are like those that we saw where Jesus sent the 12 apostles out on an evangelistic tour and the 70 on an evangelistic tour to reach new people. And some pastors, and pastors are to feed the flock. As we read back there in Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, and Ezekiel 13. And teachers, to teach. Now here's the reason, not to exalt anyone in these offices as it has been claimed, where then it comes along, you know, well, I am the presiding so-and-so, and I was next to the apostle, and therefore I have more authority. Not so. Not so. It's not based upon authority, it's based upon love and serving the brethren and feeding the flock for a purpose that God has designed. Here it is. Verse 4. For the perfecting of the saints, God's way, with His word, with His spirit, with His righteousness, with His love, with His mercy, with His grace, not the ideas of men. For the work of the ministry, and there is a lot of work that goes with it. For what purpose? For the edifying, as I wrote in a letter recently, the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And if you teach them the right way, and if you teach them with God's Spirit, and you teach them with the love of God, and you teach them to love God and love each other, and you inspire them to desire to do the will of God, they will do it. But there is another very important factor that is true. Unless the one who is teaching is also doing what he is teaching, he will never be able to perfect the flock, because there are degrees of hypocrisy mixed in with it and vanity and self-serving mixed in with it. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that means to build it up. And also, the word for edification also is a root word for steward. Become very important. Edifying of the body of Christ. Now this is so they can have the character of God, the love of God, the faith of God, looking forward to eternal life, being able to withstand the trials and difficulties they go through, to help them in prayer and study, in anointing, in healing, in counseling, in all of these things, but to teach them to be able to have a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. That's why we're here. So as we will see, anyone who is to be a minister has to have these priorities, and we'll see them when we get to 1 and 2 Timothy in just a little bit. For everyone who is a minister or elder, whether they are serving in the function as an apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastors or teachers, the goal is to perfect the saints. The only way they can do it is by these five things. One, they must love God the Father and Jesus Christ first and foremost above everything, as Jesus told Peter. Number two, they must love the truth and adhere to the truth, always preach and believe the truth. Number three, they must yield to the Holy Spirit to lead them. And that comes by study, by prayer, by dedication. And that dedication comes because you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Number four, your family, as we will see. Number five, the brethren. So those are the priorities. Loving God, number one. Always seeking and preaching the truth and living by it, number two. Yielding to the Holy Spirit of God to be led by the Holy Spirit. Number four, being the head of your family and taking care of your family. And number five, the brethren. In that order. And unless you have the first three, you can't accomplish the second two. Now notice how this is to be. We already said for the perfecting of the saints. Now let's come down here to verse 13. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. That is a process. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. That is also a process. Which comes through what? A personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. By the one who is the elder, minister, teacher, and by the brethren that he is teaching. Okay? Unto a perfect man. Now, how perfect is this to be? This is why, without the right understanding of the purpose of God in the New Testament and the church, you cannot possibly understand the true government of God within the church, because you are going to miss the whole point. Now, hold your place here, because we're coming back. Let's come to Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew 5, and verse 48. And Jesus told what the goal was right here. Matthew 5, and verse 48. Page 964. Verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect. This is the goal. This is what we're doing. This is why we overcome. Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, and I submit to you, you cannot do that without the Spirit of God. You cannot do that without the love of God. You cannot do that without the Word of God. And God being in each one of us with His Spirit, so that the perfection can be accomplished. That's why we have Sabbath services. Not just as a day to attend church, but a day where we learn to be perfected and learn of eternal life, and where we are inspired and we have hope and we have understanding and we have all the blessings that come from God to be able to then develop the godly character. That's the whole purpose of it. Self does not count to anything unless self in the teachers and the brethren is completely subordinated to the will and power of God in love and service and all of that together. Now, let's come back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Unto a perfect man, verse 13. Now, notice. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that is the overall job description and process that sets the goal, that sets the parameters, that give us the understanding of what we need to do. And as we will see next time when we get into 1 and 2 Timothy, there are qualifications which apply and methods of teaching which need to be followed. And all of that Paul wrote for the instruction for Timothy. So we'll pick it up next time at that point.